This is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So, today's book is a new release this year, Simon Sort of Says by Erin Bowe. And while unfortunately this is a sadly needed book, it is a sadly needed book. And this is... It was an interesting read, and reading the author's notes at the end about why she came up with this book was also really sad. It's basically a middle grade fiction. We have Simon O'Keefe, who seems like a totally normal kid. You know, he's got some little quirks, but whatever. You know, he's just... He and his family are moving to Grin and Barrett, Nebraska. This place is, got a giant, satellite dish set up to try and capture, you know, any kind of, things from space, you know, any odd sounds and things, of course, you know, SETI and the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, that they're very interested in it. So because of this big giant dish and because of how sensitive it is, the town itself has gone low to no anything. You have to sign an agreement before you can move there that says that you won't use internet or cell phones or Wi-Fi or microwaves. So it's basically like falling back into the 60s or 70s in terms of technology. And it's ideal for Simon. He has a past, and he doesn't want anyone to know about it. So he tells people a true story about why, you know, for the reason that they left their previous town, which is that his dad is just a little weird. There was an entire alpaca incident at the church where he was the deacon. And so Simon's like, well, we got run out of town for that. And that is partially a reason, but is not the reason. And it takes a while in the story. I mean, because you've read the back cover or whatever, you do know what the reason is. But in terms of the story itself, it grows slowly. It's just little things like, you know, going into a room with only one entrance or exit is just very, no, he doesn't want to do that. That's not okay. Going certain places is not okay. Being in certain areas is not okay. Sirens are not okay. You know, fireworks are not okay. There's all these things. And progressively, it builds up. But it's all, like, he's still as normal as he can be, given the circumstances. The circumstances of which are, when he was in fifth grade, and he's now in seventh grade, when he was in fifth grade, near the end of the school year, there was an intruder with guns in his school. The school did absolutely everything correctly. They did lock lights out of sight. They all went into some sort of closet or something. His entire class went in there. Everybody was locked down. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. But the shooter just happened to find Simon's class. And because they couldn't lock that particular door for whatever reason, he opened it up and just shot and killed everybody. The only survivor of 20-some kids was Simon. And that was because he was buried under all the other kids as they got shot. Hugely traumatic. Very upsetting. And, you know, unfortunately... very realistic in this world. I mean, just look at Uvalde. So he survived it and immediately was homeschooled for the next year and a half. They couldn't get away from it. He was still everywhere. He was known in this town. It was in Omaha, Nebraska, so it's not like he moved very far. But he was known, and everybody knew who he was, and everybody, you know, recognized him. And it just, the stressors were there. The therapist couldn't, you know, could only do so much, and the family could only do so much. And it was always a constant. People maybe trying to be kind were just constantly bringing up this bad memory and making him relive it over and over again, or get stuck in this loop. So they move to this town where there's no internet, so maybe nobody will know him. And so when he gets there, yeah, nobody knows him. This is great. Like, yes, awesome. Nobody knows who he is. It's, you know, a relief. He doesn't quite fit in, but that's okay, because who does in seventh grade? And he, this happens, I think he moves around January or so. So it's been a year and a half or ish of homeschooling through all of sixth grade and part of seventh. And then he moves to this town. And so he meets this bit of an oddball girl and another oddball guy, and they kind of spark up a friendship. And there's an entire subplot with her trying to make the scientist happy, because she's got autism. She's very interesting in her own way. She's like a little quirky. She kind of reminds me of Stargirl from Jerry Spinelli, and some of that is good and some of that is bad, because I really did not like Stargirl, the book. I thought that girl was creepy. But in terms of just her little quirks and little things that she's trying to do, it just kind of got me there. But, you know, very kind people, very nice people. And yes, she knows that something's wrong. She recognizes that she immediately can see all of his quirks. She knows about the rooms immediately. He doesn't have to say a thing. She recognizes them very quickly and bonds with him over keeping him safe and him keeping her safe. And there's that. But her idea is to make the scientist happy by trying to imitate an alien sound directly to the satellite to give them something to be happy about. Maybe there's something out there. Yay. So there's this subplot that goes on. But it really is about Simon just trying to be a kid again, just trying to be normal after an infamous picture that has been around the world of him when the cops finally got to the room that he and his now dead students were in, you know, ordering people to raise their hands in the air, and him raising his hands up, and that image being caught on a cop's body cam has now been shared with everybody, and he's covered in blood. And it's really, you know, it's sad and it's disturbing. And the fact that this book has to exist at all, there's so many of these books now where school shootings are just, you know, the topic or a topic. This Is Where It Ends is another one that came out a few years ago. Similar thing, but it was a live, you know, step by step of a school shooting. Like, these kinds of things, unfortunately, are just way too normal now. One thing that speaks to that is that this book, the Simon sort of says, is an imprint of Disney Hyperion. The fact that Disney, and I know it's their book imprint and it's not quite the same, and it's just one of their side things, but that Disney, of all people, is selling and putting out this book about a kid who survived a school shooting, that just flipped me for how regular this has become. And it's so unfortunate and it's so unfair. And what are we doing to our people, especially our children? But I mean, this happens, you know, in grocery stores and stuff too. It's not like it's just kids, but it's just awful. And we've gotten to the spot. So, you know, reading this book of Simon trying to be a person again, to not be Simon O'Keefe, but just be Simon, seventh grader, doing normal things, you know, being a normal kid, as normal as you can be in the national quiet zone where you can't have internet. It rings a little bit at your heart. It kind of tears a little bit. It definitely is not a happy thing. And of course, at some point, his identity is released. Somebody finds out, and thinking that they were doing a good thing, allegedly, not even really thinking, it tells everybody about him. And now he has to relive that all over again. And he once again has to be Simon who survived, not Simon the seventh grader. And so it's just, you know, it does end up a little bit, we do have a slight triumphant moment where he made the choice to save himself instead of hide, and there is this thing at the end where it's like, hey, you know, maybe he might be okay. But the fact that we have to have books like this now at all is just kind of sick. And that's just my reaction to the type of book. In terms of the book itself, it's okay. I wasn't, you know, immediately locked into it. I did read it very quickly, though. It didn't take long. It had its moments of very interesting. It also had some moments of really, there just were some parts where you're kind of like, so I did like the characters. I did like some of the scenes. I did like the fact that Agate is her name. She lives on a farm with a whole bunch of animals, and her family is in the middle of goat birthing season, and their neighbor has a bunch of emus, and they get out one day, and it's just, you know, there's some really quirky scenes, which is good. You need that comic relief in the midst of all this stuff. It doesn't harp too hard on Simon's tragedy. It really doesn't. The fact that I'm talking about it is more of my reaction to the fact that this book had to be written at all. But the story itself really does not go into a whole heck of a lot of depth in terms of describing the event. Simon, you know, says this is what happened and then moves on. Again, what you really see are the impacts of him on his daily life, what rooms he can go into, what colors he can look at, what sounds he can listen to without getting stressed. Those PTSD things, that's what the focus is on. It's not on the event itself. You barely even, you know, it barely even touches on the event, except for the fact that everybody always remembers it now. Whenever they see him, it's the, oh, I'm sorry, and oh, the, oh, you poor kid faces that, you know, he now has to face all the time, which I can, you know, I can understand, you know, that's, I can empathize with it. I don't have any personal experience that way myself, but I can see how that would, and, you know, when someone is grieving someone and everybody is always just, oh, you poor thing. But this on an extreme level, and a constant thing forever, you know, Simon's, he's never going to get away from this. This is going to be a constant whenever someone realizes that he's that kid, you know, that's just going to be his life. So it's kind of a realistic type of thing. In terms of that, it does need some growth. It does have some areas where it could get a little tweaked. And again, that subplot is just kind of odd. I know it's designed to be something for Simon to, at the end of it, to come to a conclusion, a realization, a life-changing whatever, something to let him say, I'm not just the kid in the closet. I am Simon, and I have other things, you know, I can do other things, and I can free myself from these things. I can be and do these other things. I get that. I understand it. I comprehend it. That doesn't mean I'm all rah-rah about the whole book. So I'm kind of in between on my score here. The ideas are good. There are just some weird moments here and there that just I don't quite understand. And there's just some hilarity that just doesn't quite seem to fit. For example, his mom's a funeral director, and she, when they've moved to this town, they bought out this, it's like slaughterhouse, a crematorium or something. It really is a horrible name for, and that it was already that name. It was an established name, so they didn't change it. And so she takes care of everything. She's the one who picks up and treats the bodies and then move. You know, she has a really horrible assistant who one day loses a body. It literally falls out the back of the truck and gets caught onto another truck and ends up in a whole other state. And you're just kind of like, wait, what? And I guess, you know, there is the need for some comic relief, I guess, in the midst of all of this. But in the end, it's still like, wait, no, 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 we didn't need that. So, you know, the balance is not quite there for me, but overall the story is decent. Again, the fact that we need the story just is horrible. I hate it. But it is a decent story about kind of a realistic-ish handling of grief and trauma and PTSD and all that other stuff. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being, ugh, avoid, 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 you know, toxic waste, ick. 5 being amazing. 2 being, eh. 3 being, eh. And 4 being, eh. I'm stuck between eh and eh. It's like a 3.5. Maybe I'll round up to 4 when I don't know. It really does have some good points, and I think it could be something that some people might need to read. But again, the fact that it exists at all is just depressing. I also know right away that this is going to have a lot of controversy assigned to it, just because of the shooting part of it. There's going to be, you know, if a teacher puts it in their classroom and a parent finds out about it, I can just see, especially in this day and age, and especially with the bannings and all this other stuff that is coming around right now, this huge censorship overload that has been happening recently in our country, I can just see parents being offended that this book is there. How dare you put a book? It's traumatizing my child. And no. I think the fact that we kind of need this book is the most depressing part. But that doesn't make the book itself bad. It just means that it's bad that we need it. So Simon Sort of Says by Erin Bowe, and that's E-R-I-N, and her last name is B-O-W, is 3.5-ish stars. And that is where we go right now. So it is, again, a new release. Our library only had it as a digital release, but, you know, maybe it'll become a physical copy if enough people read it and want it, at least in our particular branch. So if you have anything to say, please feel free to comment. Again, I am the Library Talker on librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. This was a discussion of Simon Sort of Says by Erin Bowe, and I hope you guys have a pretty good day. Bye.